The story has been told and retold. That of Brooklyn Dodger general manager Branch Rickey sitting Robinson down in 1945 and challenging him with the racial situations, abuse, and beanballs he would face in the lily-white baseball world of the period. Turn the other cheek, Rickey advised. Let your baseball talents do the arguing. Have the guts not to fight back. Red Barber was the radio announcer for all of the 10 seasons Robinson spent with the Dodgers.
The greatest thing he did is that Mr. Rickey told him he couldn't answer back for 3 years. So greater than his physical attributes on the field was his spiritual control of himself. There were a lot of people who felt he shouldn't be there. But as he began to play, they had to treat him fairly because he was the greatest gate attraction since Babe Ruth. He was tremendous.
Because he ended up putting money in everybody's pocket.
That's right. Between Mr. Rickey and Robinson, they changed all sports.
The Dodgers' farm team in Montreal was an ideal location to begin this so-called noble experiment. The Canadians did not carry many of the racial biases as some sections of the United States exhibited, and the Royals drew nearly 1 million fans to set a new minor league record. Of the 8 International League teams, Rochester got a look at Robinson last in a Memorial Day doubleheader at Red Wing Stadium. Over 14,000 fans jammed into the ballpark, one of the biggest crowds in Wing history. Concessions sold out before Game 2. From newspaper and eyewitness accounts, no racial outbursts occurred, though plainclothes policemen speckled the stands just in case. Longtime fan and Knothole Gang director Jay Stalker saw Robinson play on Norton Street.
But I do know afterwards, somebody said to one of the Rochester players, "How was he?" He said, "He can play ball." If I remember right, they were curious whether the guy could play ball. But he can play ball. He could play ball. I think the people in Rochester, I don't think they care what the color is. They want to see a guy play ball to the best of his ability. And I think that was the same then as it is today.
Longtime Red Wing rooter and current Milwaukee Braves scout Dorothy Fox also saw Robinson play here.
There was a feeling that people had to see him. It was something that had not been a viable situation. I wouldn't say a sideshow, but it was something that I think it was very hard for a lot of fans to accept that there were others than white who could play this game. He was very, very shy when it came to talking to people. He shied away from that because of the fact that people did not treat him as an equal when he came in here. They wanted him for what they could get out of him, and that bothered me a great deal.
Jack Rabbit Roosevelt Robinson, and the colored comet, as the morning paper referred to him then as, was known for his daring base running, rattling the pitchers into balks or poor throws to the plate. In college, he was UCLA's first four-letter man and incorporated aspects of football, track, and basketball into his baseball play. That year in Montreal, Jackie took the batting crown with a .349 average, swiped 40 bases, and was the number 2 fielding second baseman in the league, helping the Royals to a runaway flag. Times Union columnist George Bayan wrote for the Democrat and Chronicle in 1946. He says by then, there weren't many writers voting against Robinson playing in the big leagues.
No, I think most of them agreed because the scouts were so high on him that this guy was one of those can't-miss talents. You know, he was going to play in the big leagues, and they would have been very surprised if he had not made it. If he had been playing his first game here in AAA, you know, say opening day, I think that you'd have seen a couple of pages devoted to it in the morning and afternoon papers. But other than that, he wasn't really besieged for interviews. He was just another ball player, a rookie with great talent. And, you know, if the guy were going into football today, he'd be a first-round draft pick. He was a great football player, an All-American, a great track star.
Once again, Dorothy Fox.
He knew where he was headed and he was going to make it. He wasn't anybody stand his way. Very aggressive hit the plate, in the field, and he would give absolutely no count to anyone when he was on base. When he wanted to steal being on base, that base was his, whether he made it or not.
Managing Montreal was Mississippi-born and bred Clay Hopper, who in spring training actually questioned whether Jackie was a human being. He begged Rickey not to send Robinson to the Royals, but before long, Hopper was a big supporter. The Royals' third baseman was John Spider Jorgensen.
Well, Clay was pretty good about it. Heck, as a matter of fact, it was the usual thing when he found out he could do a few things, like bunt and run and steal and steal home. Clay liked that, you know. Anything that we could do to beat the opposition and show up the opposition a little bit, it worked out. It didn't take long for that to happen. Jackie could make a few things happen, I'll say that.
Spider says the Royals weren't overly friendly to Robinson, but didn't avoid him either. Trips to Baltimore were rough. Fans once waited outside calling for the black bastard to come out, and Louisville players staged a brief walkout. But overall, incidents were few. Jorgensen says he and other players didn't see it as history in the making. They were more concerned with keeping their own careers going.
I roomed with Marv Rackley, who's from the South down there, and he mentioned it one time. He says, you know, Spider, he says, this is quite an event, and he says, I don't think most ever realize it. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, he says, we got a black ball player. He says, it's going to be quite a thing. Well, it turned out he was right. And more so now. It seems like people now look back and they can't believe all that stuff that's happening. That did happen.
Robinson went up to the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1947, won Rookie of the Year honors, and helped the Bums to 6 pennants in a World Series, hitting .311 through a decade of service. He was elected to baseball's Hall of Fame in 1962.
My main ambition was to get along well enough with whoever I was playing with so that they would realize that there wasn't any friction because I was culinary white. I mean, we could play together. I think that was my main ambition, was to break down that barrier, not so much for me to go to the major leagues. I just wanted somebody to go. I didn't care who it was.